Well, welcome to all and to our guests. We thank you for being here this morning. This morning we are going to take a look in which Jesus reveals himself again to his disciples. And we are going to see a miracle that he performs. And we are going to see that even in the face of denying Christ, that he restores. And I think it's one of the most interesting things, because Jesus does not beat up Peter, but rather restores him to his place of service to him. And we will also find out that as we become Christians, as we start to walk in our faith, that we no longer can be selfish. And it is not because we are so much better, it is out of the love that we have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he demonstrated to all of us. And because he demonstrated this to all of us, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19, and I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There, together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with fishes. And soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring the fish which ye now have caught. And Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, and yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou would not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Amen. Please be seated. Now, of course, for those of you who know me real well, this is a good text. We're dealing with fishing again. This is good stuff. At least we get to talk about it. After Jesus had revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, the way he revealed himself is this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we will go out with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. That's very interesting because here are the disciples. The last time, last Sunday when we talked about them, they had been huddled in the upper room, petrified for the Jews, worried that they were about to face what Jesus had faced. And now they're not there any longer, but they're down by the sea, and they really don't have their commission. Jesus hasn't really told them what they are going to do, and so they go back to the one thing that many of them do know. They go fishing. And I kind of like the way they put this. They're all around and Peter says, I'm going fishing. It's kind of like, you know what? I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go do what I know how to do. And the other disciples are, yep, let's go. But it's interesting because these guys knew what they were doing. But they didn't catch any fish. And then someone from land in the morning calls out to them. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. It's interesting to me, because I was in a situation like this. And I told the Sunday school class, and to be honest, this is more of a story. And it does have somewhat of a point, but it happened to me about, oh shoot, now I got to go back 15, 16 years ago, when I was still fishing for a living. My partner and I were in a tournament, and we had mapped out our day. We had started at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we had fished all our day and all day in all our spots and not caught a fish. Now this is pretty disheartening at 3 o'clock when you have to be in at 4, or at 2 o'clock when you have to be in at 3 and you have nothing. Now this was our living. We counted on making prize money and we had nothing. And so, in a last-ditch effort, I told my partner, I said, let's go back to the first spot we started with. There were fish there. And so we went back, and we threw out our anchors, because you could only fish this spot with anchors, and we threw our lines on opposite sides of the boat and decided to have lunch. And we ate lunch, or started eating lunch, and lo and behold, my bobber went down. I set the hook, caught the fish, knocking my sandwich in along the way and my pop over, and it was a mess. And so he dug out another sandwich while I put the fish away and got my hook rebaited, and we started eating again, and my bobber went down again. And so everything happens all over again. He hands me one more sandwich. I throw my bobber in. We need 5 fish to fill out and to be in the running for the championship. I throw it in, My bobber goes down again. And I reel in the fish. And I finally looked at him and I said, "Are you going to put your bobber on the other side of the boat?" And he looked at me and he goes, "That's probably be a good idea." I'm going, "Yeah." And he threw his bobber over on the other side of the boat and his bobber went down. All this happens in about 35 minutes and we barely made it into check-in in time. Ended up taking second place. It was a great day. But the reason I tell this story is because when I told him to throw his bobber over on the other side, he goes, "It does not matter the first time. I'm right next to you." Well, obviously something was going on down below. We don't have any clue. But the fish were on the other side of the boat. And it's very interesting because when he did it, of course, we caught our fish. We got all that done. And we were blessed because of following the instruction. And this is really interesting to me because the disciples are here and these guys know what they're doing. It's not like they're amateur hour out on the water and they you know, don't know where to fish and how to fish. They've been doing it. It was their livelihood. Even more so than it was mine, these guys had to catch fish in order to feed themselves and their families. It had only been 3 years. You don't forget everything in 3 years. And then some guy from standing on shore says, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat." And they do it. They really didn't know it was the Lord. In fact, they don't realize it until the nets are full. But it's very interesting to me that God blesses them for that blind obedience that they have. When His word comes to them and they do what He asks them to do, He blesses them and blesses them greatly. And it is when He blesses them and they start pulling on the nets that they realize who it is. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. And this is Peter, the one who just wanted to go fishing. After the big load comes in, and that's a happy time when you finally you get your limit, or however you're going to put it in today's terms. And he pulls the net in and he abandons his net and his boat, dives in to go see the Lord. All of a sudden, fishing becomes not very important to him than going and seeing the Lord. And to me, that's a very big lesson. And as I've said, I've told you this before, that's really what happened to me. When God revealed Himself to me in a much more real way, not that I wasn't a believer before, and He called me to do something, fishing became much less important. Those things that He calls you to become much less of all encompassing. Because now God and what He has called us to do becomes more important. Now the other disciples, they haul the net and the boat into the shore. The other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fishes, for they were not far from land but about 100 yards off. And they got out on land and they saw a charcoal fire in a place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish that you have just caught. And so now He's talking to them. He's letting them know. And He tells them to go finish your task. And so Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. After fishing all night, you're hungry. When you spend that much time, and some people think about fishing is not something that's hard to do, but when you're standing and you're rocking back and forth, it takes a tremendous amount of energy. I can't tell you why, it just does. And so Jesus comes to them and is going to take care of their most basic of need. He has food and bread for them. Not something really impressive, but he shows how he continues to serve them. He continues to serve their basic needs. Even after his resurrection, in all of his glory, he is going to take care to feed them. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And this really gets to the point of Easter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the witnesses we have. Because this is really the crux of Christianity. If there is no resurrection, then all that we do, all that we talk about is worthless. Believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believing in the resurrection of Him is really the thing that separates us from other religions. Our Savior is alive. Our Savior has been raised from the dead and has victory over sin, death, and the devil. That cross could not hold him. That grave could not hold him. And we listen to the witnesses that have that. That have shown or have he has revealed himself to. And not just by his word, but his body. He has allowed them to place his hands or their hands in the nail prints. He has talked to them, he has eaten with them. He is not a ghost, but he is still fully human. And his death. And his shed blood, which washed away our sin, was a great thing. But it was his resurrection that gives us new life. That we can now rely that we have new life in the person of Jesus Christ. And he shows this to his disciples. And even in the midst of something that we have done in the past, he shows the restoration. And that's what he really shows to Peter. Peter, who said he would never deny Jesus Christ, denied him three times on the night in which he was betrayed. I do not know him. And so, Jesus comes back to him. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs. Bring the word of God to my people, to my sheep." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Peter, the one who wanted to go fishing, was now going to become a shepherd. His occupation was about to change. He was going to bring the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ to men. Not much different from what Saul ended up going through, who would later become Paul on the road to Damascus, as we heard earlier. Everything about their lives was about to change. Everything that they had wanted and had thought about was about to come to an end. And that's really what Paul says, or what Jesus says in verse 18. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. When we are young, when we do not know that calling that the God has placed upon our lives, we do everything that we want to do. We're selfish. Our whole being is wrapped up in what we want and meeting our basic needs and doing what we feel is right. But as we mature, and as God gets His hands upon us and starts to call us, everything changes. We are no longer can be selfish. We no longer can put our needs above the other. We can no longer decide that what we want is more important than what the other wants. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you, and another will carry you where you do not want to go. And that's really what happens. Because as we get older, and God starts to speak to us through His Word and by the power of His Holy Spirit, we end up in places we don't want to be. Oh, we find out we got a great life. But again, this goes back to my story. I'd much rather be fishing in many cases. I'd much rather be doing something else. But God has called me to this position. He's called me to a new life, one that is much better than what I ever had before. But it's not a decision made up on my own. It's a work that God has done. And it's a work that God has done in all of your lives and is going to do or is continuing to start or starting that process. For you who are younger, I don't know what your calling is. But God has one for you. For you who are older, God is completing a calling in you and working in and through you. I don't know what all those are. They're different for each and every one of us. But the point is we no longer worry about our own selfish needs and desires. Rather, we look to our Lord and Savior and His guidance by the power of His Word and His Holy Spirit to serve others. Peter is going to do what he is called to do to his death. Peter will follow Jesus Christ. And he will be persecuted and he will be hung on a cross. Because he believed Jesus Christ. And that's what verse 19 says. And this he said to show by what kind of death he was to be glorified. And after saying this, he said, follow me. In order to do that, in order to follow the person of Jesus Christ, we have to know him. And how do we get to know him? We read about him. We hear about him in the Gospels. We find out how he treated people. We find out how much he loved. how much he even just took care of the basic needs of his disciples. Yes, he did the miracle upon the cross where he washed away our sins in his shed blood. But he also feeds them. Something as simple as feeding someone else is a service and a following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think that ministering to people is a difficult thing. We worry, well, how can I do that? Look at me. Ministering is the easiest thing in the world. It's an act of kindness done out of love, out of service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's giving a glass of water to a small child. Feeding someone who is hungry. Coming along someone who is suffering and giving them encouragement. Visiting someone who is lonely. Being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not hard. It's following the example of Jesus Christ and caring for people around us. Showing His love, showing His mercy, and proclaiming God's forgiveness to people who don't know Him. Jesus Christ's final words in this text, actually He goes on a little further, but the final ones in our text for today are, "Follow Me." As we leave these doors this morning, follow the person of Jesus Christ. Show His love and His mercy to all people that you come in contact with. And this is really the calling that we all have, to minister Jesus Christ to the world, to follow Him, and to teach them of God's love for them. In Jesus' name, amen.